My name is Tom Etheridge. I'm the Deputy Director for Policy at the Public Sector Fraud Authority. I'm really pleased to be joined by Laura Piggott, who is the Counter Fraud Manager at the London Borough of Hillingdon. Laura, do you mind just giving people the 20 seconds on who you are and what you do?
Hello, everybody. Thanks for coming along to our talk today. So my name is Laura Piggott. I'm one of the Counter Fraud Managers at Hillingdon Council. Predominantly head up our housing investigations team. So anything to do with housing fraud is what I work with. Been at the council 21 years this year, but in fraud about 11 years. Part of the Tenancy Fraud Forum Committee group, part of the London Borough FIG group with the fraud investigators. So I've got quite an array of background with the housing fraud team.
So much. So your team is discovering housing fraud. You're, you know, investigating it. What's the sort of emotional journey in your team? How does it feel when you find that people are defrauding the council?
At our council, we take a positive spin on finding fraud. It's a good thing to find your fraud in your organisation. It gives us the opportunity to have a look at the risks that are coming through into our service areas. Once we can identify them fraud risks, we can then put our action plans together, work out what we need to do to look at our prevention and detection measures. We work really close with our audit team, so close, in fact, they sit in our office with us, so we can work together looking at their risks as well. But actually finding the fraud, I think, most of us would say it's a real positive thing. You do get when you get that good result, you're really happy with yourself. We're a very proud team of what we do. I'm very proud of our team, the results that we achieve. They do work hard. And I think they do work hard because they enjoy finding that fraud and getting their result.
And that result sometimes in your case is like the keys being handed to a family who needs it. And that must be a really positive thing.
Yeah, and I think when you see that, where we work on both sides of housing, where we're looking at the emergency accommodation, and we see the emergency risks coming through there and the families, and then we see that we're getting our property back and we can see the effect that it has on them. Yeah, it's a great achievement.
Is there frustration ever or when you're progressing a case and it's not going as far as you like?
I think there can be if something doesn't go your way. Big believer in you sometimes have to let the little things go. You won't always get your win. But, you know, that's just the nature of the work, unfortunately. You can only do the best you can do with the tools and the skills and the evidence you've got. You can't dream things to happen. We would like to, but it's not always possible.
Yeah, I guess with your experience, you've become immune to the like idea that it doesn't always go your way, but you get these good results. And we had the minister earlier, and she was talking about how fraud for her is like, it's beyond the numbers, it's beyond just the money, it's actually about local trust, it's about people's trust in public services, it's about people's trust in government, and particularly, you know, local governments are strained, people, and local government is often where ordinary members of the public really notice government, right? It's the potholes, and it's the social care, and it's the housing that people notice. So from your perspective, when you sort of see these like big messages from the minister about like trust in government, how does that like translate to a local level? How do you and your team think about whether the work you do like improves sort of public trust in government and these sort of bigger themes?
Yeah, I think you need to work effectively to tackle the fraud, and that's what gives your public the trust in what you're doing. If you can show and demonstrate that you're taking it seriously, and you're taking action against it, and you're getting good results, so that's going and, you know, really getting into your comms, getting out and talking to your residents, residents groups, letting them see and showcase the work that you do, that just puts their trust in you, not only in the trust in the work that you're doing, but the trust in that you're also, as an organisation, going to spend the public funds in the right way and where they're meant to be for the genuine and for the genuine, you know, claimants that deserve it. It's just really important to have a positive reputation with the public. And I think with that going forward, they'll be able to see that we take it seriously, tackling fraud. It's a big thing.
So you mentioned that the sort of comms and outreach. Can you talk a bit more about that? Like, how comfortable do you have to become comfortable with not just doing good things, but going out there and presenting them and talking about them?
Yeah, obviously, working with the comms with our organisation, we're doing residence groups hubs at the moment where we did a key amnesty recently, which I know quite a lot of authorities and organisations have been doing that. So if I talk about that with the comms, it's really important that not only you're educating what the fraud is and the consequences of the fraud, you're actually demonstrating your outcomes of what you get from the work that you do. So we've worked with our residents, with our housing services to showcase our work on that side. But it's just important to let them know what is going on and what we're doing to combat it.
And what kind of reaction do you see when you go to talk to residents groups about that?
Oh, they love it because it's their money, isn't it? It's their money being spent, and they want to see a difference. I think you get your popular sort of well known pieces of fraud, you know, like blue badge fraud, for example. The residents love that one. Subletting, they love to see that, you know, you're getting the properties back. But it generally, it's a positive.
So it's actually you talked about your team at the beginning, as in like finding fraud is a good thing. What you're saying, it sounds like, is that actually residents think that as well. You don't go and present to them, we found this fraudster, and they say that's disgusting, that's outrageous. They say, good on you. That's their reaction is finding fraud is a good thing too.
Yeah, and I think that obviously they're going to be annoyed that it's happening, but as long as there's something being done about it, that's where they get their trust in you.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Can you talk a bit about your team, Laura? I think your team is larger than many local authorities have. Is that right?
We might be one of the largest in London. I think we are the largest in London authorities. Yeah, there's 22 in our team. And we cover everything that comes through the door with the council. We've increased over the last, I'd say, 5 years. We've been restructuring through, bringing in new areas of work, which just builds on our resources. The way that we do that is we're looking at identifying risks. This goes back to your finding fraud is a good thing. So we'll have a look at the risks that are coming through the door. Then what we will do is we will start putting some business cases together to work on that fraud risk. Then from there, it's really important that we look at getting our buy-in from our 151 officers and our chief operating officer. In our organisation, we're lucky. Our head of service has direct contact with the 151. They're the budget controller. We work really closely with our members. We go to audit panel, so we have a really positive relationship with them. So they trust our work and they buy into what we put forward on the table. We found that if you have a layer between the house, the head of service and the 151, that kind of is a bit of a buffer. So that's what we would push forward. So that's why we have that good working relationship. I can go and see my 151 officer tomorrow and have a chat with him about an idea that I have. That's how close we all work together.
So like, part of your job on the face of it is going and fighting fraud, but actually a huge part of your job, it sounds like, is communicating with lots of different stakeholders and getting their buy-in. We talked about residents,
yeah,
we talked about section 151 officers, but you've got also got like elected members, you've got different parts of the council, you presumably have service areas you want giving you cases. Like, how much time in a given week do you spend working with the sort of like building that sort of stakeholder relationship?
I wouldn't say it's a weekly task as such. We will look at a fraud risk area that we're working at. So one of the things that we look at is your return of investment. That's the biggest thing for us. We're a self-funded team. We don't cost the authority anything. If anything, we bring profit in for the results that we have. What we do is we will take into a service area. So if I bring it back into the housing work that we do, a prime example of one we did was the emergency accommodation pilot. We knew that was an emerging risk coming through. There was a lot of fraud coming through. So we opted to put a business case forward to do a secondment programme. What that meant was we could get some resources in on a temporary basis. The resources would be internal staff. So they already know our systems. They know how we work. We would then look at potentially getting the secondments in from them service areas. So we went and branched out to housing and got their officers in to work with us. Two reasons. We could train them if they were not to stay with us and we couldn't justify keeping the staff. Or they would be able to train the team that we've already got with the knowledge of housing, which we might lack on in the project. Once we do the projects that we do, if the results speak for themselves, that's what's the then big selling point for us. What we can do is we can put all the reports together, go to the key stakeholders, go to the 151, do our return of investment justification, and then we get our sign off. And then that's how we've built our team for the resources.
So look, I mean, almost everyone in this room will be thinking they don't have enough resources in their team. People in different situations, some people will be in local authorities like yourself, but like lots of things will translate. So almost like, what are the tips here? So you've said like, make sure you have a strong relationship. In your case, it's your sort of 151 officer, but in other people's cases, it might be the sort of budget holder or senior people. Using secondments to bring in people from other teams, so you increase that connection between teams. Are there any other sort of Laura's top tips for getting your hands on more people?
I think you've just got to be, you've got to have the drive. You've got to have the drive to want to push it. And if that means that you need to pull your resource from another area of work that you're doing well in, just leave that one for a minute, take some time out, look at another risk. And once you can see the emerging pattern come through, then put it all together. And it's having relationship. It's building on relationships. It's regular meetings. It's having that companionship with the service areas. Like, I have a really good relationship with the housing team. I work with them all the time. I speak to the staff. I leave my door open. They can message me anytime they like. It's building relationships. It's having that positive relationship build.
Yeah. Can we talk a bit about the National Fraud Initiative?
Yes.
So that, I mean, National Fraud Initiative is going for that since the 90s. So, I mean, your whole career in fraud has been under the sort of shadow of the NFI. How valuable a tool is that? And I wonder if you can give us a sort of sense of how your team uses it.
So the NFI is a huge piece of work that we do in our service. Actually, this year, this financial year, we decided to put all of a section of our resource into doing the whole NFI match, and it brought back the highest savings that we've had ever.
So you mean pursuing every single match you...
Yep, we literally took...
For context for other people, the average number of matches pursued is a much, much lower percentage than
100. And we done it as soon as the matches came through, so it was ready, it was fresh data. Data can change so much, circumstances change so much, usually 3 to 6 months something's changed. So as soon as the matches come through, we hit it straight away. We had a process that we put it all in to get the matches looked at. What we found was we'd recovered just over £250,000 in the CTR, SPD, HB side of things. We closed a ridiculous amount of housing applications, like over 100 applications. But what we did, we also brought into the NFI Fraud Hub. The Fraud Hub is even ready data. It's much fresher. And we've brought back 15 properties on that and the deceased data on that. The NFI is such a useful tool because the data is all there. There's so much in there. And the results speak for themselves. I've been networking today with people on NFI, and they've had some amazing results recently.
And I mean, you said in my previous question, like, the way you deal with things and resources, sometimes be prepared to pull people off things and put them. It sounds like you did that with NFI. You pull people off from other areas, and you said, we're going to get our NFI matches through. Let's go get them while they're fresh. Let's get all of them. Would you do that again? Was that a good return?
Yeah, the return investment, that was really good. That was definitely something that we would look at doing again. It speaks for itself, because once the results and the matches are dealt with, you're moving on to your next area of work. It is not consistent. It's not a daily thing. So I can tell you now that the staff at the moment are completely not working on the NFI. They're working on other work streams. The NFI has been done with our service, and we've got our results from it, and we're happy with that. We're still working through on the Fraud Hub, because that comes through on a regular basis. It's slightly different. But the actual NFI match, yeah, they're done.
That's a very powerful tool. And what's next? What's next for the team? How are you sort of developing your team, developing the systems you're using?
Yeah, so at the moment in the team, there's quite a few things we're looking at in the next sort of like 6 to 12 months. We're looking at processing the app check, which is for NFI, actually putting it into other service areas that they use it themselves, mainly homeless prevention at the front door. They have access to app check. And part of actually, in the last talk that I was in, the polygamous working, we want our HR team to have access to the app check. That's a really good, useful tool. We're looking at digital automation of data. We're looking at working with our ICT teams so that we can progress the reports into NFI ourselves, which means we can do it more regular and quicker. So we're building all the report systems on that, which will help us that side. We're also doing a lot with training staff at our organisation at the moment. We've got digital skills apprenticeships on workplace schemes. So I've got a couple of the team at the moment on apprenticeships to enhance their digital skill set for the team. And we're doing a lot of work. We're linking in with LBFIG and TFF for the development and training programs. They're really good training development programs for our staff. We get to network with other organizations similar to us, see what they're doing, see if we can share our ideas, best practices, data match sets, general conversation of casework, where people are going. So
it's a huge amount of work, it sounds like. And that's on top of the day job of finding fraudsters.
Yeah.
That sounds like that comes back to what you were talking about at the beginning, that if you have an emotional attitude in the team, which is like, let's go get it, let's go find the fraud, then that really helps keep all these initiatives going forward. It was really interesting. You just mentioned working with other service areas across the local authority, and including HR, you know, working with people to get app check in there. You said about the secondments has supported your team, of course, but presumably secondments also mean that people throughout the organisation have more knowledge of fraud than they might without that interchange. Is that helpful in sort of getting other people to think about fraud when they wouldn't otherwise?
Yeah, it's always good to be able to speak to your other service areas about the fraud risks they have. We do a big fraud awareness programme at our council. We do an onboarding fraud learning course. So any new member that starts our organisation must do an online fraud course, a bit like your data protection courses. So we let them know about that. We have the whistleblowing policy that we talk to them about. The fraud awareness sessions that we put on are service-led. It's for the service to come to us and ask for it. We will make a bespoke fraud awareness session for their service area. So we don't talk about the generic fraud, because for some staff, if it's no interest, they're not going to listen. So we generalise it to what their bespoke service area is. We always offer shadow working. I'm always saying to the team, come and sit with us, come and see what we do, come and see the tools that we have, come and see the work that we do, because I do think sometimes other service areas don't understand what it is you do. They, you know, for example, a door knock, you've just knocked on the door and walked away. Probably haven't even knocked, just done a little feather tap tap, but you're not, you're standing there like, you know, you're doing your decent visual check. So we get them out with us. We take them out on our visits with us. That doubles up our resources, funnily enough, because if I have to send two officers out on a visit, I'll send a secondment officer out, and it means I can spread the workload around a lot more, which means I can get through a lot more. And it is a numbers game.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So if I sort of try and draw what I've learned from you today, Laura, is the importance of sort of comms and buy-in and support with other people. You talked about, you know, working with residents, so they're proud of what you do, and you obviously that helps your team be proud. You talked about, you know, working with your Section 151 officers, your little elected members, really getting that buy-in. There's a sort of pro tip in there about secondments and like how that can really support people and make your team of 22 actually a team of 44 if you get into double up the resources. And then we heard him talked about the sort of NFI and the value of that. And actually your sort of all-in approach on the NFI, which I think is quite rare, is something that's really paying dividends. Is there anything else you'd want to sort of leave our audience here with today?
No, I mean, I'm around for the rest of the day. If anybody does want to come and speak to me, I've got some of the team here. If you want to speak to the team, you can reach out and contact us with anything. But no, I just think carry on fighting fraud. We're here to do a job.
Same positive attitude. Thank you so much. Everyone, can we please give Laura a round of applause?